45.
Elon.
Brown, 45.
Hot.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in this household. Joining me for his third week in a row, that's probably a record in his books, is our work experience kid turned pro, Danny Webb. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I am. I won't lie, I've felt better. I believe you're in the same boat, just a little bit on the nose a little bit at the moment, but you can probably hear how nasally I am, but I'm getting through.
Yeah, at least it's you and me both.
Yeah, we'll suffer through together. That's the main thing.
And luckily we had a good weekend of football.
Yeah, exactly. And we're soldiering on. We'll get through it. We're going to start off with a little bit of injury news. We're just going to go through nice and quickly. The Falcons tight end, Kyle Pitts, he's going to miss a fair bit of time. He's getting some surgery on his knee. MCL, I believe. So he's out indefinitely. He's been put on the IR. The Giants have put on their rookie wide receiver, Wandell Robinson. You're good with names, is that what you say? Wandell? Wandell?
Yep. Wandale. Yeah, Wandell.
So he's torn his ACL, so he's out for the season. Justin Fields for the Bears. This is a good one for anyone who has him for fantasy. He seemed to hurt his shoulder in the last drive of their game. It was his non-throwing shoulder, but it seems like it might cause him a bit of drama. So that's one to keep an eye on. We'll have more news on that one on Thursday. And last one, which hurt our punters club group, Mike Williams has re-injured a ankle that he was out for the last 2 weeks. He had one catch, rolled the ankle again and was out for the rest of the game, which that was the only leg that we lost in our punters club, which... Maxie, who's going to have a couple of mentions today, he was pretty devastated about. That's the injury report done and dusted. We'll get it out of the way nice and early. We do have a couple of news stories. Have you been over these news stories, mate?
Yeah, like just jumping back for one of those injuries, that the Wandale Robinson actually did his ACL on that slip film turf that we'll talk about in last week's episode, which is incredibly interesting.
Right?
Yeah, because it happened at happened at the Giants Stadium. Which is that. And they've actually come out and said they've made the decision to replace the field in 2023, but they are reviewing proposals from multiple vendors, but they're still looking at doing synthetic, which is crazy. So like all this stuff's coming about the injuries, and they're still looking to go synthetic again rather than grass.
Oh.
Just a little note on that.
Yeah, right. That is a very... So they said they're going to change from the one they've got, but they're going to find a different one.
Yeah, exactly, which I'm guessing a lot of players aren't too happy about. But as we said last week, The findings still haven't fully proven. They're leaning towards that way, but haven't fully proven that slip film turf is actually worse, especially for those like non-contact injuries. Like, and that's what he's done his ACL. So,
yeah, right. That is an interesting little side note. I did see that they had come out and said that they were going to change it, but I didn't realise that they're going to change to the exact same thing. So it sounds like a lot of money going down the drain there, but we'll see what
happens. Especially if the NFL come out and say, actually do turn around and be like, oh no, everyone needs to go to grass. I guess they'll change the decision on that because they'll become mandatory. But for now, they're looking at more synthetic.
Yeah. Interesting. Another one to keep an eye on. Just a couple of news stories. So the Broncos today or yesterday have released veteran running back Melvin Gordon. Now, he was the number one running back leading in at the start of the year, so a little bit of a slip for him to be. He's never been released. For anyone who's got him on fantasy, probably look to offload him. And the Commanders, so this is exciting news for them, especially their defense. They're starting to come good, the Commanders, the last few weeks, and they're adding to their defensive side of the ball with activating their young defensive end, Chase Young. So he was the number two pick, I reckon, in last year's draft. So that's a big in for their defense.
Yeah, Young tore his ACL on November 14th of 2021 and hasn't played since. But he's also still not confirmed to be playing this Sunday yet, as of yet.
When they've activated him to the active roster, means they've got 21 days to use him. So that's still it's within 3 weeks. I have to use him.
Yeah, which we definitely help and commend.
Just for you to know.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Me and all the other listeners who don't fully understand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that is our news done and dusted. I wanted to get it out of the way nice and quickly. Like I said, not feeling 100%. So we're going to power through today. But I do have something for you that you were not quite.
It's time for questions without notice. Without notice. Without notice. Without notice.
This has become quite a popular little segment of ours. Now, I did mention to you about that chat function. This is actually a request.
Yep. Yes, you did.
From one of our own, Maxi Rampling. He didn't know he was requesting this, but he has requested it. Oh, get out of the way. So last week he had quite a chuckle about your pronunciation. So he messaged me. What the hell is going on with this thing? He messaged me and said your pronunciation of the Commanders quarterback. Do you remember his name?
No.
You don't remember. That's perfect. That's exactly.
Oh, yeah, no, dude, no, Heineke, one of them.
Heineke. All right, you got it right. That's a shame. That is a shame. So what we're going to do, as soon as this disappears on me, I've got a thing on my screen which is really, really annoying me. I'm going to send you, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 names that are quite tricky to pronounce. They surprisingly come from 2 of them from the same team. But that's all right. I'm going to write them to you in this chat function, and you are going to try your best to actually say the names, all right?
Beautiful. Love this.
So the first one is actually an Australian. He's the punter for the San Fran 49ers, and that is his name. How do you say his, that's it, just his last name.
Wisnowski.
Wisnowski, yeah. I thought I'd start you off nice and easy. He's the Australian punter for the 49ers.
Beautiful.
The kicker, sorry, not the punter. But yeah, I thought you started off nice and easy. Well done, well done. So the second one is also from the 49ers. Is a wide receiver. Let's see if you can say this name. Again, just his last name. First name's Brandon, if that helps you.
Ayak? Ayak? Well, I've never seen that name ever.
Close. It's Brandon Ayuk.
What is it? Ayuk. Oh, I was all right with that. Ayuk.
You
that was a tough
you
one.
We're not too far away. Yeah, that's it. It's slowly going to get a little bit
harder. We're one from two.
This one is another Australian, but he comes from your Birds. So he's the big offensive linesman.
Mailata.
Oh, nice. Jordan Mailata. He's one of the big guys. I reckon we mentioned him the other week. He's been dominating up front for the Birds. And lucky last, you actually sent me, this is a full name. You sent me a question mark as to whether this is a good pickup for your Birds. He's a big defensive linesman, and I want the full name this time.
As soon as I sent you that, I was like, I have no idea who this is or how to say it.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
Nadir Mukhongsa.
Try it again. Just for Maxi's pleasure, I want you to try it again.
Oh, no, that's it. I'm one and done for that one. How do you do it? Teach me the wise ways.
It is Ndama Kunsu, his name is.
Oh, I don't feel like I was that far off.
Nah, you were.
Ndama Kunsu. Hey, you're welcome, Maxi.
Nice. Yeah, I just wanted to, he messaged me and said he couldn't get over your efforts of trying to say Taylor Heineke, so I thought I'd throw in a couple of. There are actually 2 from the 49ers and 2 from the Birds. We might try this weekly and see how you go with a few of the names.
Oh, good. Good. I love failing to pronounce things to a wider audience. This is fantastic.
You actually did pretty well, so well done.
Thanks, mate.
All right, we're going to get straight into our football review, and we're going to do it a little bit different this week because you've actually had a little bit of time on your hands and you've done a little bit of a write-up on each game. We are in the middle of a game, which is the 49ers and the Cardinals down in Mexico City. It's currently 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. The 49ers are up 24 to the Cardinals 10. They are kind of all over them, although DeAndre Hopkins has gone 7 receptions for 77 yards for the birds there. But I feel like the 49ers are all the way over the top of them. We'll keep you updated as we go. But I'm actually going to run through the games, and then you're going to give us a little tidbit if you've got one for each game. How's that sound?
Yeah, no dramas. I can do that.
Perfect. The first game, which was on Friday, which was my Packers, which I was confident about, but unrightly so, it sounds like. They come out and dominated us. Ryan Tannehill, they won 27 to us, 17. We had our chances, but just couldn't quite convert. Tannehill, 22 of 27 for 333 and 2 touchdowns. Derrick Henry actually killed us, 28 carries, 87 yards, but he threw a touchdown as well as crossing over for one. And Treylon Burks, which he killed us on third down, 7 receptions for 111 yards. They were just too good for us, mate. What have you got on that one?
Yeah, I was definitely going to bring up Henry because Henry was the one who really dominated throughout this game, and especially that little cheeky touchdown. His cheeky throw for the touchdown. Titans have now won 7 of their last 8, which is impressive, and Packers is pretty much the opposite, have lost 6 of their last 7. Rodgers still went for 227 yards and 2 touchdowns, but it just obviously does not compete. The Titans kind of seem like they always kind of have that in the bag.
They did. Early on, we were competitive, but yeah, they just definitely just held that little one touchdown kind of lead the entire time, which we just couldn't quite break. But that's all right. We'll discuss more about the Packers on Thursday when we come up against your birds.
Oh, mate, it's going to be heated. Going to be heated out.
Oh, yeah. The first game that we had on our Monday slate, or their Sunday, our Monday, was the Falcons 27-24 over the Bears. Justin Fields had another very good game. He had 18 carries for 85 yards, which you don't normally say for a quarterback, but we've discussed how well he's been running lately. He also threw 14 of 21 for 153, so they actually played pretty well, the Bears, but just couldn't quite get over the line over the Falcons.
Yeah, and the Falcons, obviously, Patterson had a really impressive like full field, 130-yard touchdown from a kickoff. He actually set the NFL record with his 9th career kickoff return touchdown, which is pretty crazy. And also, Patterson used to play for the Bears for 2 years before signing with the Falcons in 2021, so it's pretty crazy that he broke the record against his former team. And then I think there was the field goal from Atlanta was a 53-yard field goal, which gave them the lead with less than 2 minutes to go. And then Hawkins iced the game with late in the fourth with an interception for the Falcons.
Yeah.
To actually put that one away. So yeah, the Bears were well and truly in it. If it wasn't for that field goal and that interception, like, it definitely looked like the game was going to head to overtime.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, the Fields has been playing pretty well the last 3 or 4 weeks. So they're on the up, but just couldn't quite get over the line.
It's actually also the Bears' fourth straight loss as well, though. So Fields has been playing well, but it's just not quite been enough.
Yeah, I reckon they've been in like touchdown, like field goal or closer in most of those games, though. Which is not what
you want. Been very competitive. Very competitive, but just not quite getting over the line.
Yeah, we will go on to the next game now, which was the Bills and the Browns, which got moved to Detroit because there was over 6 foot of snow in Buffalo. And I like the stat that the two running backs that were playing are 5'9" and 5'8". So if they did play, then they would have been shorter than the snow that they were running in. The Bills, they had everything against them. I put up a video of some of the fans actually helping players plow snow so they could get to the airport to leave. But they did more than enough to beat the Browns. They won 31-23. Jacoby Brissett actually played pretty well for the Browns, 28 of 41 for 324 and 3 touchdowns. Josh Allen did enough, but that elbow was still causing him a little bit of grief, but I think he was still protecting himself a little bit. Singletary, which makes sense, had 18 carries for 86 yards. He also rushed for a touchdown. And Amari Cooper for the Browns, an off-season acquisition. He looking good for the back end of the season when they get Deshaun Watson back, if they play him straight away. 8 receptions, 113 yards, and 2 touchdowns himself. So he could be good for anyone on fantasy in the back end of the year.
Yeah, a lot of my takeaways from this was about the snow as well, because like it's such an incredible thing that all the players from Buffalo still managed to get there with the amount of snow that there was. Like that is an intense amount of snow. Like you said, the players themselves would have been under the snow if they had been standing next to it. But Buffalo also helped by their kicker, Tyler, who made all 6 of his field goal attempts. 6-6.
Yeah, nice. That helps. Well, yeah, under the river. Yeah, nice. That makes sense. next game was your Birds getting over the line just against the new rampaging, maybe, or just a bit of energy behind the Colts. They were actually up for most of the day, and it was a 1 yard touchdown run from your man Jalen Hurts to finally get him over the line in the back end. But the Colts actually looked pretty good. And I thought halfway during the last quarter, we're going to steal it from you. They end up winning 17-16 in the last. So Matty Ryan threw for 213. Like I said, Hurts, 16 carries for 86 yards, really using that big frame. And Devonta Smith, 6 receptions for 78 yards for the Birds.
Yeah, so the Colts actually had a touchdown on the opening drive. So as soon as that happened, I was pretty nervous. And then the Eagles actually fumbled a lot more than what they have in previous weeks, which also sent the nerves skyrocketing, because I was like, we can't lose 2 in a row. I can't come on this podcast and then lose 2 weeks in a row. The Colts were all over Jalen Hurts until late to the fourth. And that's what, like you said, where he ran it through for a touchdown. The new coach bump was actually looking very strong again. It looked like the Colts are going to go 2 in a row. But I think they'd still be happy with signing Saturday and him going that competitive against the Eagles and having a win. I think as far as the Colts season is concerned, that's 2 wins in their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I don't remember who the line was, but they definitely covered it.
Yeah, I think the line was definitely, it was 100% more than 0.5. So yeah, they definitely covered it.
More than 0.5, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, one of the games of the season, but not in a good way, it was an absolutely shocking game, was the Jets versus the Patriots. Right up until 8 seconds left, the game was 3-all, and it took a Marcus Jones punt return from 84 yards, and he just ran straight to the sideline, up the sideline. He carved him up, punt return, touchdown. So the only touchdown was a special teams touchdown. For them to win 10-3, like I said, 8 seconds left. Jones threw for 246. Harris ran for 65 yards. But I think the biggest takeaway was the Jets only had 103 yards of offense for the day. I think it was only like 9 possessions and 10 punts or something like that. So, or 9 first down and 10 punts. It was something ridiculous like that. So a lot of hot water coming the Jets' way, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely an ugly game. For both sides, both teams really struggled to move the ball. Like you said, up until that Mark Jones returning that punt, there wasn't all that much happening. Bit of a snooze fest of the game.
No. Yeah, it definitely was. It was a terrible game, really, so we won't talk about it too much. We'll go on to the next one, which was the Saints versus the Rams. The Rams are struggling. Andy Dalton and the Saints just doing enough to get over the line 27-20 in the last. Kamara had a pretty big day from what I saw, but I don't have his stats, so I won't go out and say that. Olave actually had a huge day. 5 receptions, 102 yards, and a touchdown for New Orleans, which is the first rookie wide receiver since 2018, which I reckon would have been Thomas back then. But big news out of the Rams was Stafford actually went down again with a concussion. That's a second game in a row, so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that for him.
Yeah, Stafford went off in the second half to be evaluated for the concussion. But I think the Dolphins 3 touchdowns definitely led the Saints for the victory, whether Stafford was going to be there or not. It seemed like Dalton was having a pretty dominating game himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I just think the Rams are definitely done this year. I can't see them coming back with Stafford down. Cooper Kupp still out. Now it's 6 to 8 weeks with that ankle. He got surgery on it. So I think Rams will well and truly put the cat amongst the pigeons and just say we're done for the day. We're done for the year even.
Big Super Bowl hangover. Like, obviously all the injuries don't help, but it's still not an ideal way to come back after that.
No. The Lions have gone on a 3-game winning streak to defeat the Giants 31-18. Was that in New York? It would have been in New York. So that's a big win for the Lions. Daniel Jones still threw for 341 and a touchdown, so he's still a machine. But like we said, the Lions just keep doing what they were doing. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, went over 100. And their defense really came to play, keeping them to only that 18 points and being able to score 31 themselves. Like, it's a pretty big day for the Lions. Actually, Jamal Williams had 3 touchdowns, which is the first running back for the Lions since, I think, 2012 to have 3 touchdowns in a game. Former Packer.
Yeah, that was one of the takeaway points that I had as well, was the Williams 3 touchdown. It's also his career high as well. The Lions also, that's, as you mentioned, is their third straight win. It's their first since 2017. They've had 3 straight wins. So the Lions are definitely on the up.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're actually above the Packers in the NFC North now. So, grouse. That'll just mean more draft picks for us.
Yeah, so it's always a sad point in the season when you start looking at what we've just finished week 11 and you're already looking to the draft for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, the only problem is we're going to beat you birds next week, and then that'll stop up our draft prospects again.
Like we said, we'll get out our boxing gloves next episode, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'll be coming in full kit, don't you worry. Next game was the Ravens and the Panthers. Now, another one that wasn't overly exciting, but the Ravens did enough to win 13-3, scoring 10 points in the last to get over the line. Lamar Jackson, 209. In the air, but didn't throw a touchdown. Actually, threw an interception. So a pretty poor game from Lamar, who's trying to get that big contract next year. Kenyon Drake, not even worth mentioning. What have you got about this one, mate?
Oh, it was like, you know, rivaling the Jets-Patriots, really, for the worst game of the week. If it wasn't for the couple of late turnovers for the Panthers, the Ravens probably wouldn't have got it done, but yeah, a couple of late turnovers definitely helped the Ravens get over the line. But yeah, it wasn't once again the most entertaining of all games.
Was not, but the Ravens moved to 7-3, so they're pretty happy about it anyway. But next game, Commanders beat the Texans, and they just did. They weren't exciting, but they just did more than enough to get the job done. What was the name of that quarterback again? I can't remember his name.
Heinicke.
Taylor Heinicke. He did. I've always said I've liked Heinicke. He just does what he needs to get the wins, and they're up 23-10 over the Texans. Like I said, it's not amazing, but did more than enough. So they moved to 6-5, the Commanders.
Yeah, they've moved to 6-5, and Heinicke's actually moved to 4-1 since becoming a starter, and it has been announced that he is no longer the backup to Carson Wentz, officially announced.
Is it really? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, I'm hitting you with the news bombs. But yeah, no, it's officially been announced.
Yeah.
He's no longer the backup, nice. Which is, I think, fair enough. If he comes out and goes 4-1 since becoming a starter, you got to go with momentum. You can't take him out, as we spoke about last week.
I'm pretty sure we mentioned that last week, that you just got to stick with him and shit. If 4-1, you can't really take that out, I don't think.
Absolutely not.
Yes. Next game was the Raiders, Timmy Cardi's Raiders. He'd been actually pretty happy to be on today because they got the job done in overtime over the Denver Broncos to move to 3-7. And that's their first away win for the season, which is big for them. So a big touchdown catch to Devontae Adams, which was, I'm not even going to say how far. It would have been about 50 yards, I reckon.
35 yards.
Close to 50 yards.
35 yards.
7 receptions. 141 and 2 touchdowns on the day for him. Derek Carr, 307. He threw both of those touchdowns to Devontae Adams. And Jacobs, which we said was going to be a big day on the ground for the Vegas Raiders. He 24 carries for 109 yards. So good win for the Raiders just to keep momentum somewhat moving.
Yeah, and that was pretty much what I had was that that pass that Adams received for that 35-yard overtime touchdown. Like, obviously got the Raiders to win, but that was definitely the moment of the game.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And Devontae just keeps doing Devontae things. Had that one week down where he was a bit crook, but we know how he feels like that. But he's still having a pretty stellar year, I think.
Yeah, and the Raiders definitely needed this win. So getting a win in overtime, hopefully will give them a little bit of momentum going into next week as well.
Yeah. The biggest shock of the weekend, I actually couldn't believe that the Vikings were underdogs at home, but it seems to be true. They were 3-3 with the Dallas Cowboys halfway during the first quarter, and they didn't score again. End up being 40-3 for the Cowboys. Dak threw for 276, two touchdowns. Tony Pollard had an absolute day out, 15 carries for 80 yards and 6 receptions for 109 and 2 touchdowns. Big day for the Cowboys after bouncing back from what now looks like if they didn't lose to the Packers 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, they could have nearly been on top of your birds, mate.
Yeah, so obviously I think the Cowboys got fired up after their loss against Green Bay, and that gave them the motivation to absolutely destroy the Vikings. Not the way the Vikings would have wanted to snap their 7-game winning streak to go down 37 points, especially like you said, after being tied 3-3. They just seemed to, as soon as they started getting scored on, they just crumbled and fell. And after that, the Cowboys just absolutely ran away with it. But yeah, if the Cowboys didn't lose to the Packers, it would be a completely different story for us. For the Philly fan base, but also like if they didn't lose, I don't think they would have come out with this amount of momentum, hunger, and drive to absolutely demolish the Vikings.
Yeah, that's fair call. They did say there was an interview with Micah Parsons at the end of the game, and he said we heard all the noise. We heard that everyone was on our back saying, you know, maybe we're pretenders and things like that. So it's probably a fair point to say that they've come out and they were hungry to get that win. So. Still, it's a huge win. Like, I think it's got a lot of people saying, are the Vikings, were they pretenders? Are they just kind of going back to the old Vikings way where Cousins was kind of just under pressure and throwing them away? And yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back and do the same thing that the Cowboys did. I don't know who they've got next week, but it'll be interesting
the Vikings,
to see who they do come up against.
Yeah, the Vikings definitely need to come back out and do essentially the same thing that the Cowboys did. Come out and dominate another team just to prove that they deserve to be there. Because like the season, like having a 7-game winning streak, no matter who you're playing against, if you've won 7 in a row, it's an impressive feat. So I don't think they're complete pretenders, but they definitely do need to perform next week. If they go down big again, well then all the heat can come down on them.
Well and truly. Maxi's Bagels have done the job, and this is a big win for them. They got a win 37-30 over the Steelers. I know it's a close game against the struggling Steelers, but I think it's a pretty big win because this is their first time that they've really come out and moved the ball quite well without Jamar Chase. T. Higgins, 9 receptions for 148 yards. And Joey B, 24 of 39, 355 and 4 touchdowns. I think this is the fourth time in his career he's thrown for 350 and 4 touchdowns, which is a Cincinnati record.
Yeah, it's just Burrow's doing impressive things as he does. And I had the same thing that a lot of people were expecting the Bengals not really to be able to score without Chase, but they still managed to put up 37, even if it is against the struggling Steelers. It's still impressive and also just come away with a win. Perrine also set a franchise record for the Bengals for catching 3 touchdown passes as a running back. Hasn't happened before for the Bengals, which is good. And now Bengals have gone on to win 4 of their last 5 games.
I don't want to throw you under the bus, but I believe it's P. Ryan. They actually were saying it during the telecast.
You are kidding me. Oh, man. I'm about to hang up my headphones for good. This could be the end of my podcasting career. I'm going to, you called me out the work experience kid. Work experience kid gone pro. I'm going to have to demote myself back to the work experience kid. P. Ryan. There you go.
To be... P. Ryan. Yeah, that's a bit harsh because it looked, I would have said Perrine too, but yeah, definitely that's Perrine. So, but that's all right. Yeah, 37 on the Steelers. They have a pretty star-studded defense, so I think that's big. But the Bengals' defense might need to start pick up their game a little bit. The last game of the week, besides the game that is currently playing now, was the Chiefs and the Chargers, which is a pretty thrilling game. The Chargers came out strong again, like they did last week, but just couldn't quite hang on, losing to the Chiefs with only about 30 seconds to go. Mahomes' touchdown drive to Travis Kelce, who had a day out. They won 30-27. Kelce, 6 receptions, 115 yards and 3 touchdowns. Mahomes, 329 yards and 3 TDs, but their running back as well. So Edwards-Helaire, who didn't touch the ball last week, injured himself early this week. But Pacheco is how you say his name, this guy. I think it's Isaiah or something like that. Pacheco is his last name. 15 carries, 107 yards. So they're just next man up mentality. And, yeah, they're ticking all the right boxes, Kansas City.
Yeah, if you're going to go into any late game situation down and you've got one drive left, Mahomes is the man that you want running your offense. Absolutely. Like every time he goes in, he just looks super calm, put on his helmet as if they weren't down, as if there wasn't just 31 seconds left to go. Just put on his helmet, went out there and did exactly what he needed to do. Mahomes and, like you said, Kelce connected on 3 touchdowns, which is just an incredible connection that those two have together. And yeah, he is pretty incredible when it comes to these late game situations.
He is. He's so calm. He knows exactly what he needs to do. So there's a reason they paid him big money all that years ago, and he's still worth every cent by the looks of it. But that's the end of the slate. Oh, we'll go through the late game now. Is the San Fran's still up 24-10 with 2 minutes to go in the third. So Cardinals need to get on their bike if they want to. A big thing about that, actually, Colt McCoy is starting. And it seems to be that Kyler Murray has been injured ever since the Call of Duty game came out. So I don't know what you want to think about that, but Warzone. Read what you will.
Yeah, downloaded the latest Warzone and then hasn't seen the field since, but
yeah, since then his thumbs just seem to be a bit sore. Yeah, but we'll see what comes of it because Colt McCoy is doing enough, but obviously not enough to get victories. But yeah, they have looked better with Colt McCoy in the last couple of weeks. So if he can turn it around, at least make a game of it against the San Fran, who have a pretty elite defense, it'll be interesting choices. Whether I think Kyler Murray, there might be a little bit of angst amongst him and the coach. So watch this space, I reckon.
We'll just have to see how everything pans out.
Yeah, beautiful. Well done, mate. We've knocked it on the head in half an hour, which I'm pretty happy about. I don't know how you're feeling about it, but I'm looking forward to Thursday a lot more than I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. We both 100% should have been placed on the injury report for this week, but anyway, we powered through.
I was definitely almost sending you a message this morning saying, well, I might just give this to the IR and back on Thursday. But we powered through. We got it done. You did well trying to pronounce Ndamukong Suh, so Maxi will be happy about that one. But we will see you on Thursday.
Yeah, and hopefully I can give Maxi a few more laughs with some few more mispronunciations. It's going to happen for the next couple of weeks, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. I imagine we'll be getting text messages into our group about it. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good work, mate. Like we do as always, make sure you find us on the socials. I'm not going to go through them all. I really just need this to be finished. But I will see you. My nose is so blocked. It's not funny. I will see you on Thursday, good man.
Oh, mate, I'll see you then. Get the boxing gloves ready. Go, Birds.
Oh, I'll be decked out. I'll be wearing this bad boy. Don't you worry.
The whole time.
Need to make these. Yeah. All right, mate, I'll see you then.
See you, mate.